your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know that you don't know what life is really worth. Not all that glitters is gold. All the stories never been told. So now you see the light. Stand up for your right. Come on!
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now.
Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight. Give up the fight.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now.
Get up, stand up.
Listen, most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know life is worth, you will do your hours on earth. And now you see the light. Now stand up for your rights.
Everybody, get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight. Don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now.
Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Wayne Kramer, lead guitar.
In Jesus' name, Lord, we know what we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can't fool some of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool the people all the time. Get up, see the right. Stand up for your right.
Get up, stand up.
Come on.
Stand up for your rights.
Oh Lord, now.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight, everybody.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight. Come on.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Everybody now.
Get up.
Anger, hostility towards the opposition. 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 Anger, hostility towards the opposition.
Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger, hostility towards the opposition. Anger! Way of your walk and right. I hate LA swine with the patch of G.
straight from that L.A. concrete. True blue motherfucker up about 4 generations deep. But who's the real motherfucker, though? And what does that fake know about motherfucking South Central? Fool, what you know about a set or a sign? Fake motherfucker never even seen a nine. If I catch a slipping, punk, I'm on a fade. Check a shiny jet with that ghetto perfect train.
Welcome back to the Civil Disobedience Project. Actually, I'm saying welcome back, but we're really just getting started because we had some technical difficulties, so those are out of the way. It's August 8th. It's Monday. This is your favorite guy and anarchist girl here in Los Angeles on Kill Radio, Adam and...
Ariel.
And we were speaking a little bit about some of the stuff we were talking about, what we did this weekend, of course. Today's show, we're uploading... last week's show, too, so you'll be able to listen to it a week behind. So now we're on schedule. So then next week, then, you'll be able to listen to this one on podcasting. And I think Al Gore will pick up our new show, since he's into this podcasting thing. We're going to talk about Al Gore's...
Oh, what?
Al Gore has his own TV network now, and it should be fun. We're going to talk about that. So maybe he'll want to do the Civil Disobedience Project, And that would be cool. We could
talk
to
Al Gore.
Yeah, we'll
get him on here.
We'll be like, Al, what's up, buddy? He'll be like, why is your wife such a cunt? I said cunt, Miss PMRC.
She's a bitch.
Mr. PMRC, and I know, and I'll put a little explicit lyric sticker on my head. I'm going to send a pod into that show, just me walking around with the explicit lyric sticker on my head. And every time I talk, we'll just beep it out so you won't be able to understand anything I say.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my artistic expression, Al. So I got that, Al Gore's thing. That's on our list. Aaron and I are going to talk about System Show, 286 Show, what's going on with Axis, as always. FBI cover-ups, I love it. I'm going to talk a little bit about Flight 800, old 1996. We can't forget about this stuff. A plane wrecked off the coast of Long Island. We're going to talk a little bit about the FBI cover-up around that and what it means to free media and why the media in the United States really isn't so free right now. We're also going to talk about Canada is trying to make a move towards possible privatized healthcare in the grand spirit of the NAFTA, of course, and globalization. We're going to talk about what that could do. We're going to talk about gun violence and some misnomers about all kinds of stuff like that. Maybe some union talk. Maybe some Walmart watch. And I've been inspired to write an article this morning. I already have the title. You want the title?
What is it?
The title is Ku Klux Sam and Uncle Tom. You'd have to read it. I mean, even if you didn't even know what I was going to say next, you would see that title and you would have to read it.
Yeah.
I would read it.
I would read it.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have one of those up on the website soon, hopefully, on the Gorilla blog, thegorillaunderground.com, URRILLA.com. And now we have an Axis San Bernardino website, right?
Yeah, it's, what is it? Okay.
Can you get to it from the main Axis of Justice site,
right?
Yeah, it's
okay. axis909@axisjustice.org.
Right, so you'll be able to go get to it. Basically, if you want to find any of Axis's chapters, go to the main Axis of Justice website, which brings us to the first song we played, which was Get Up, Stand Up. a lot of people associated the Civil Disobedience song with show with Get Up Stand Up. I used to play it before every show. On the
oh,
show.
Really?
So now we played a new version of it, and that version was, of course, Surge from System of a Down. Yeah. I was just laughing. It just seems bizarre to hear someone with an Armenian accent singing Get Up, Stand Up. But
with a little bit of Jamaican twist.
Yeah, you know with the Jamaican twist. Yeah, yeah,
but you know,
awesome.
On the Access
awesome.
DVD, it's really weird when he's singing that song, he's reading it from a paper. And right. I don't know what's going on there. Like,
well,
but he's reading it as
well,
he's singing it.
Well, sometimes when you're playing the music, it's hard to... Like, there's songs that I listen to all the time, like, yeah. If I'm playing the guitar. Which
I think he just wasn't familiar singing it at all,
yeah.
But he was, like, reading it. I was like, but nobody gave a shit out. I mean,
nah,
he could read it.
He
could read it.
It's awesome.
Freaking
it's
read
the
any
spirit
song.
Of it.
I love
see,
it.
See, when they... when okay, let me explain this. When Tom Morello, Surge, and Wayne Kramer play Get Up, Stand Up, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
When Ja Rule and P.O.D. play Get Up, Stand Up,
it's
I want to punch them in their friggin'
it's
head.
It's not that cool.
It's not cool. What do they know about revolution? And the answer is, well, we smoked some dope and listened to Bob Marley once. Please don't do that anymore.
And
I'm
tired of people
you.
Naming their darn children after Bob Marley. See, Angelina Jolie, she adopted the Ethiopian baby. And
time out. You're going to say something about
yeah.
Angelina Jolie. It's my girl.
Okay, but you know, I know she's hot and all,
she's
but
my
she
girl.
Named her baby.
She's a good whale ambassador.
You know, that she is. And she, I do love that about her. I don't, like, she's a little, I'm a little upset with the situation right now. You know, I don't believe
did you see her in Gia?
Farmication. Oh, that was, dude, I saw that when I was, like, 11 and I was obsessed
you
with
should
after
watch
that.
It, like, once a week.
I questioned my sexuality after that movie.
Yeah.
Not really. But anyways, yeah, so she named her daughter, her middle daughter's middle name, Marley. And, like, but that's not the only case. You know, she does some work. But the people who are naming their, like, children's name Marley or, you know what I mean, something of the
right.
sort. And it's like, if you're going to name your child after revolution, you have big plans for them.
This
have
is true.
Big plans for them and in yourself. Because, I mean, come on now. I'm sure Ja Rule's named his, you know, they would name their child, like, after Bob Marley just to do it. I've just seen instances where people name their children after revolutionaries or really cool people, and they're really not cool people.
Yeah.
I
well,
don't know
what
what's
are
going
you?
On with that?
But my favorite part of that song, though, is when Wayne Kramer plays guitar. For those people that don't know out there, if you don't know who Wayne Kramer is, and you listen to this show on a regular basis, shame on you. But in case for those you don't know, Wayne Kramer was a lead guitar player for the MC5. So every time we play MC5 on there, that's Wayne Kramer back in '68. This is
I
Wayne Kramer
on, like,
in 2005.
Songs,
yeah,
too.
He is.
He is on some other songs,
yeah,
right?
I know Tom's a big, so's Flea. All those guys are big. Everybody that plays revolutionary music today knows who MC5 is, so
yeah.
It's kind of like a given. And then after that, we played Anger by Downset, some South Central kind of rap core. And I've got something special now just for Ariel. She cheated and looked ahead.
I never thought that I would hear that on this.
We've got to talk. Oh, yes. Yes. This is great stuff. The reason that I picked this one, this next song, is because I was, I stopped at this little punk rock place in Huntington Beach and was talking to the old schoolers that worked there, and they had great things on their walls. Stuff like this. If the scene sucks, you suck. It was like, and it was real cool. And it says, Orange County, Southern California used to have great bands. And it, like, they had TSOL. And they had, like, all the great, like, punk
yeah.
bands that came out of, like, this area. And for those of you that don't live in the greater Los Angeles or Orange County area, if you live, like somewhere...
Myself.
Yeah, if you live, like, somewhere in middle America, L.A. and Orange County aren't that far apart from each other. Like,
yeah.
I live in Orange County and come to L.A. to do a show. So, like, if you're right on the border of it, it's just, like, one vast urban sprawl. Like, you don't know when one starts and one stops. Like, there was a big, obviously, punk rock scene down there. And TSOL, abolish government, it's corporate tyranny, you know, America, land
yeah,
of... Eric's looking at me. Land of the free, free to the power of the people in uniform. TSOL did a song with the Cottonmouth Kings and Corporate Avenger. Now, the Cottonmouth Kings, again, Ariel's looking here, she's shaking her head. The Cottonmouth Kings all came from punk bands. They
what
came
happened?
From the Humble Gods. They made a
what
great
happened?
Label. And they got Jack Grisham, and he played this song. It's called Peace Not Greed. And we're going to play it right now. I love this song. Hopefully one day we can get Corporate Avenger to come in. That would be one of my goals here on the Civil Disobedience Project.
Cottonmouth Kings, I have a few questions to ask.
We could get if we got Pimp Daddy X. He's from the punk background. He's an Orange County
yeah.
punk rocker through and through. These guys are awesome.
San Bernardino is just in love with Cottonmouth Kings.
They should
like,
be.
It's
genius.
Control, no.
They have eight albums about smoking weed.
I don't suppose.
Eight albums.
But it's like it's made it like so cheesy with these cheesy punk heads. They're like Cottonmouth Kings and so whatever. Anyways,
do you know,
I'm gonna stop.
Smoked weed with a Cottonmouth King before.
That's great. Doesn't make
everybody
it right.
should.
It doesn't make it
everybody
right.
should.
No.
P peace, not greed.
I'm more like in the sublime if you're going to go with, like, let's be pothead.
Lonely teenage daydream of things I just might be. A surreal kind of thinking keeps on drifting in on me. My twisted body is lifeless, not so that twisted mind. Peace through power, their motto. Powerful peace, their crime.
Illusion, the ownership is take what you can get. The banks are the loans, and everyone's in debt. And if you get shoes fire.
I won't stop rocking till I retire.
Now we rock dog parties and come correct. All cuts are on time and rhymes connect. Got the right to vote and we'll elect. And other rappers can't stand us, but give us respect. Like Cooper Cool in the game.
From to the rock, rock to the road. DMC's stands for devastated mic control. You can't touch me with a 10-foot pole. And I even made the devil sell me his soul.
Now we crash through walls,
come through floors,
bust through ceilings,
and knock down doors.
And when we're on the tape,
we're fresh out the box.
You can hear our sound.
Four blocks and blocks,
for every living person.
We're a verbal tree.
It's me and DMC.
Jay, where's the beat? Beat.
Now we're the baddest of the bad.
Coolest of the cool, I'm DMC, I rock and roll.
DJ run, I rock and roll. It's not a trick or treat,
and it's not an April Fool.
It's all brand new, never
ever
old
school. Hotel. I stood on many stages, held many mics, take airplane flights at huge heights.
So all you sucker MCs, you gotta say please,
cause when he jumps high,
I'm pulling down reeds. Got a song so strong, it's knocking down trees. Is it hard to believe it from
DMC? Has to play, and we get down with no delay. Hey, I run party with the words I speak.
welcome back to the CDP, I'm going to call it, because we were just talking about playing in Long Beach and how everything
Long
I know
Beach.
About Long Beach, the LBC from Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Deal Double G.
We just played, which, much to Ariel's delight.
Cottonmouth King?
Was the Cottonmouth Kings, Corporate Avenger,
Chronic.
And Jack Grisham from the TSOL. And then we played The King of Rock by Run DMC, and we were having a hip-hop moment. I remember back in my younger day, which was just, you know, a little bit ago, there was these guys in the neighborhood. They were all the older kids. And I grew up in New York, Long Island, where a lot of the hip-hop bands came out of, a little further out on the island than they were. But they'd walk down the road with, like, Run DMC records or, like, boom boxes on their shoulder and, like, Adidas shoes. Like, had to have Adidas with either fat laces, or if you were really down with Run DMC, you had no laces.
What did you have?
I had Pumas.
Oh.
I had Pumas. Like,
you hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, they
were in the middle.
They're, like, the same. You know, I had fat laces in my Pumas, though. They're pretty smooth.
I can picture you a Puma guy.
Yeah, and I had parachute pants.
Oh, yeah, I was pretty cool.
Now, I'm talking, like, I'm in, like, first or second grade. I mean, like, so I was, like, a little kid, you know,
yeah.
trying to be. And, like, they would break dance in the room.
Yeah, and, parachute pants.
It was really crazy. I mean, like, Long Island back in those days, I mean, we still had race fights, like, in school. Like, I remember by the time people hit, like, fifth grade or so, we had race fights. Like, it just, there was like a magic switch that got turned on and turned off. Like, when you were little kids, nobody knew the difference because you didn't know any better. Like, everybody played together. Oh, it was all, you know, a great time. Everybody running around and stuff. And by the time, like, fifth grade hit around, I mean, it was like people were fighting. You know, those the black kids would all sit by themselves, white kids would sit
by
themselves.
Did you notice that hip hop was changing around that time?
I was too young to even know what I was seeing. You know what
really?
I mean? Like, I just kind of went with it. It's like, no, I didn't sit on that table because I didn't want to get beat up. You know?
I have a feeling that's probably when, like, hip-hop was revolving into something where, like, commercialism was, like, brainwashing
people. It was probably, it was well after, like, Run DMC. I mean, it was well after that, you know, when I started to get older and see that, you know. But we were listening to, like, UTFO, and that's whenever it was all good. And by the time we got, like, you know, to the middle of the road, it was kind of, I'm saying race fights. I mean, imagine, I mean, yeah, there's, like, you know, fifth graders walking around like calling each other racial names.
Yeah.
They don't, where did that get picked up? You know, that was learned. You know, I walked into them. I got stuck in the face with a pencil one day, like walking into the school building, like just bam, like somebody came up and, you know, it was like, hey, white kid, you know, I was like, yeah, wham, I got like hit with a pencil
you're like, what's
in
up?
The face, and like it ripped down my face, and, you know, sound like bleeding everywhere, you know, and I fought, you know, and I fought a lot back in those days, like I'd fight like every day, you know.
I got a lot of fights in high school,
yeah,
junior,
and then
high,
like
in elementary,
and it was like crazy, like it was such a nasty thing, like I remember, like, sitting there, like, in my face bleeding, going to class, and, like, the kid's mom obviously had to come to school to get him. And, like, the mom just, like, walked over and, like, looked at my face. She was like, and just walked away. She didn't apologize. She didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't care, like, if you're red, white, purple, green, or blue. If your kid's stabbing
As
people
Darren
in the face.
Darren said at the show, we're all red, blue, or
yeah,
what do you
yeah.
say? Blue and green.
I was like, that's crazy, you know, that, you know, that like, nobody cared, and it was, like, a shame, like, we should, but, you know, be teaching, like, you know, tolerance, you know, and then, you know, it went the other way, like, then you start thinking a certain way, but it was a shame, you know, like, you would, then I have, like, a moment changing, wow, is everybody like that, is this just a crazy person that's hitting people with not, or, you know, with a pencil, or, you know, is that what black people are like, you know, because I didn't know, and, you know, you have to learn. You know, basically, and you have
people
to become...
People are people. There's going to be ignorant people,
you know,
no matter
been,
what color you are.
Yeah, somebody, and it could have been anybody that day that stuck me in the face.
But the thing
pencil,
is, like,
you just,
that's going to happen to people. And, I mean, I've seen it happen with people that I know. And it's just, like, something bad happened to them. They happen to be this color. So is everybody like that? But it takes your parents and it takes the people that you're around to be like, no, you know, that's not everybody.
Exactly.
This and this.
That's
but sometimes
just,
people don't have that. So they grow up.
That was obviously a troubled kid.
Hate
you know,
people.
That was a troubled kid, you know, that thought that was necessary. And maybe that's the way he has to do things to survive every day in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe he learned that somewhere. You know, why would he think that was a good idea? You know, I don't know. Maybe
somebody obviously could have called him a name one day.
Exactly.
And then, like, he was like, Adam,
you never know. That was
it.
Was I was
you.
Walking in the wrong day. And, you know, and two, you know, I didn't, you know, I'm sure, like, back in my day, you know, I was a little kid, you know, I don't turn my head. I'm not real good at, like, just, like, staying away from trouble. Usually I just run my mouth right back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's just little kids, and that's, you know, kind of reminiscing about the old days. One of my favorite things, though, about that Run DMC King of Rock song is a verse in there that I was telling Ariel about this, that there's three of us, but we're not the Beatles. Just in case, just guys, just picture this for a second.
You might get them twisted. You might,
like,
get them, like...
The leather hats, the big chains.
Maybe a little bit.
And you might just look and be like, fuck, there's...
There's
four Beatles. Is that John?
Ringo? George?
Run DMC is not the Beatles, but they... You may call them the Beatles of hip hop, you know, because
yeah.
like, I mean they're great, you know. But it's just a really funny.
They're
verse.
Like for New
like,
York, what the Beatles
exactly.
did for Liverpool,
right? Exactly. So. They're for Hollis Queens. It's Christmas time in Hollis Queens. Mom's cooking chicken. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just a little reflection. We're gonna get to some more politics here momentarily with a little bit about media censorship and how that works. Where you can find us some Walmart. I have a Walmart yell. You want to hear my Walmart
yeah,
complaint?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm from a town called Greene County. It's south of Pennsylvania. It's a lot of people know from listening to the show. It's got the maximum security system. The houses, Mumi Abu-Jamal, a lot of other, like, Russell Maroon Schultz.
There's a lot of Walmarts, let me guess.
Well, not yet. The town they recently bought, where the biggest industry is the prison industrial complex, because the coal mine shut down. If you want to read some articles about it, Tom Morello wrote one about it. You can still get it on RATM.com. Uh-huh. He wrote about visiting down there and his impressions. And he mentions this really cool dude in there named Adam, too. So you should read about it. That guy's fucking cool.
He's aight.
Yeah, this dude's cool. Anyway. But no, that's one article written about it. Mumi has written great articles about it. But basically, the coal mines closed down. And a prime job for folks that don't have any experience is working in a prison. Because it's got great benefits. You get paid there more than most people. And you don't have to have a degree to do it. So it's by the community, it's viewed as a good job. You know, like, if you get
and
on at the prison,
it's a good thing to have them in the
job.
Community.
So. Yeah, they're like, oh, that's good. But really, they don't understand, like, all the insider work that goes into that. But we're not talking about the prison. We're talking about Walmart. Walmart purchased some land across from the prison. So they're going to have a prison industrial complex and a Walmart across from each other. Fits. And a lot of watchdog organizations started coming up and saying, whoa, man, you guys got to fight this, you know, like Compton did. And I early on said, you know, back in this community, you know, my friend that organizes labor unions there said, hey, man, you know, we need you to talk to some of the unions down there. So I met with the unions. The union people already knew about it. The union people liked me. We worked together. We would talk out at, like, town meetings and shit. People hated me. They're like, no, because all these insiders wanted the deals. They wanted their companies to get the bids for the clearing the land for Walmart. They wanted their companies to sell the land. All these local people that were big stood to make a lot of money, including senators that, you know, were from that area. We're going to make a lot of money off this Walmart deal. And they were really pushing for it. So people like me and the unions and folks that were saying, this is bad news, guys. It's going to be the death of, like, all the normal jobs in the town except for the prison. It's going to be no more unions. They're going to fucking wipe you guys out. And they're like, yeah, we'll prove it. So I did. I took, you know, an article. I took, like, every best Walmart source I could find, and I wrote an article. Submitted it. None of the papers would touch it. They're like, oh, we can't do this. We can't do this, you know. So Pittsburgh, of course, published it, but that's an hour down the road from us, you know. So it was published by IMC, a lot of different places, and it was a good article. And it got a lot of, like, floating on the internet, but it wouldn't get out in our town. I have a subscription, this is 2 years later, to the Greene County Messenger, and I was reading it, and I just went to their website. On their website, they have a giant article that says Walmart Watch. And it's like, we've got to keep Walmart out of our town. It's like, hey, guys, the deal's done now. You could have fought against it like 2 years ago. But it gives all the sources that that I used in my article. So I just called and complained to him. But hey, this is Wargasm by Monty Smith. And no, it's actually Bushisms by Mumi Abu-Jamal. We'll get back to you in a few.
Bushisms. If I were in a radio station instead of a prison cell, I would be able to pull up from old newscasts the quotes I'm about to share with you, but I'm not, so I can't. As a guy who grew up listening to and working in many radio stations, I know the importance of using sound, so I must apologize. That said, I'll do my best. As the presidential election nears, I want to reacquaint you with the true, real words of the president, as drawn from various print and broadcast sources. Again, these are real quotes. These are the words of George W. Bush. Bush on dictatorship from CNN, December 18, 2001. If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier, just so long as I'm the dictator. Bush on the war on terrorism from the International Herald Tribune of October the 18th, 2001. People are going to get tired of the war on terrorism. Bush on WMDs. Spoken in Denver, Colorado, September 27, 2002. For the sake of your children's future, we must make sure This madman never has the capacity to hurt us with a nuclear weapon, but he used stockpiles of anthrax that we know he has. Bush, State of the Union Address, January 20th, 2004. Already, the K report identified dozens of weapons of mass destruction-related program activities and significant amounts of equipment that Iraq concealed from the UN. Had we failed to act, the dictator's WMD's programs would continue to this day. Bush on the armed resistance in Iraq, April 11, 2004. This violence we've seen is a part of a few people trying to stop the progress toward democracy. In Fallujah, south of Baghdad, these incidents were basically thrust upon the innocent Iraqi people by gangs, violent gangs. Bush on ex-CIA Chief George Tenet from the U.S. News and World Report of February 16, 2004. He said this to GOP insiders at a retreat in Philadelphia. You need a CIA that's going to slit a guy's throat. A moment later, bring him to justice. Bush on winning the war on terror, April 13, 2004. One of the interesting things that people ask me is, can you ever win the war on terror? Of course you can. In reply to a question from an NBC reporter who asked, can we win the war on terrorism? This is from August 30th, 2004. I don't think you can win it. There's something almost surreal about the President of the United States and the things that he says. If ever there has been a subservient, servile, craven media, how they have responded to what the President has said tells the tale. Part of it, of course, is the corporate control of the media. Part of it is also the aura of fear that has permeated the national media since 9-1-1. CNN's chief war correspondent, Christiane Amanpour, spoke of that fear on CNBC in 2003. She said, I think the press was muzzled, and I think the press self-muzzled. I'm sorry to say, but certainly television, and perhaps to a certain extent, my station was intimidated by the administration and its foot soldiers at Fox News. Amanpour added, it did in fact put a climate of fear and self-censorship, in my view, in terms of the kind of broadcast work we did. That fear hasn't ended, but sits at every desk of every major and many minor journalists in the country. It is the fear of portraying the administration honestly. It is also a kind of protectiveness over the Bush regime for fear of being called disloyal. It is a fear of offending a powerful, unbridled regime and what that might mean to one's career. It is a fear of the bosses who, in this new media universe, own various medias and control whole areas like never before. This is not George W. Bush, and he doesn't approve of this message. For Free Speech Radio News, from Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
So tell me, what do you do when you've lost all space for the sun to shine upon? The deal is done. The wheel has been spun. Say, who is spinning the wheel? I want their address. The end result is always degrading to those who are belittled in the first place. To the youth, I say, hold on to your minds when the pigs strut by. Main Street whispers hint, it's only a matter of time. The expectations the rich are sat upon us for 20 light years away from the common worker obtaining 2% of the great American swindle. I want to kill rich people even though it's wrong. I want to drink their blood, then throw it up in their leather Lexus seats, then write about it in a song. Just because I'm poor, I'm still a man will be the title. The deal is done, yet life is so vital to the killing of itself. Evil has won, humanity has lost. At any and all costs, modern world creates slavery and famine. So global businesses like the beers, diamonds can keep mining, no matter how many African children keep dying. So think about that the next time you flaunt your ice. The deal is done, but don't you look nice. Nice, 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 nice
Welcome, welcome back. We had a little bit of a conversation or with a caller, so forgive us for our lengthy time away. But we played Bushism by Mumia Abu-Jamal, Wargasm by Monty Smith, and we'll get back with some more information right after this. What we've got is some different things we could talk about. We're going to let Ariel pick these. Are you ready to pick, Ariel?
The Al Gore situation.
Al Gore. We got Al Gore. We've got
Walmart Watch.
We did Walmart Watch. We got Canada's healthcare. We have the gun thing actually goes along with the free media.
I want to go with Canada.
You want to go with Canada? Okay. Yeah. I just was reading like in Reuters. That's what you put together your internet with. Yeah. The Reuters stories. This morning when I got up is that there's different things like. Canada is, they said it, they're moving, they have a free healthcare system, you know, which is a heavy tax, but you get free healthcare out of the deal. I would be taxed heavy if I got free healthcare, I'd be okay. I get taxed now and I don't get anything out of it because by the time, I get like, it's like, thank you, I just
you get
raped 200
you. Bucks at the end of the year, 300.
It's like, I feel like, you know, some big guy just like put his penis back in his pants and was like, thank you, boy. You know, you like that? Like, no, not particularly. And there's nothing you can do about it.
They talk about that on Bowling for Columbine, like how the insurance or how it is in Canada, how these people had just like problems. They just went to, they're like, yeah
just,
fucking
go
went
in,
to the doctor.
Get fixed. I won't go to the doctor problem. Now because I know I can't afford to.
Yeah.
I write a letter to my doctor every month because I have doctor bills that I owe.
Yeah.
And every month I must make him feel like shit because I write him an essay about privatized healthcare and how it affects like normal people. And I must make him feel like shit because every month my bill goes down. Like I pay like a ridiculously small amount, but like it goes down way more than that. Like every month, I think he's just like, fuck.
They have this thing I know, like where if you're not working, if you're full-time sooner, if you're just not working period, you're over 21. You have to go to like the community hospital and you get free healthcare for like anything.
God,
but you have to do
me.
A lot of, you have to do, because my dad got that when he got in a really bad motorcycle accident.
Okay.
Because he always worked under the table. And that's what I need to get. Because,
I haven't had health. I don't have anything. I don't go
at all.
I couldn't walk
tell
one
me
day.
I have like some terminal disease as well.
Yeah, then what are you going to do? I mean, it's because it's health for profit.
I'll
they
have
don't
to
care.
Send
they
that
just,
to you.
When you walk in, I walked into the ER once with my friend's head bleeding, like open, festering. He got thrown almost through a windshield of a car. The ER's looking at him while he's bleeding. They're like, well, what's his insurance? I'm like, you know.
Oh, that happened to my dad.
I put him right in his face. I just put my finger in his face. I was like, fuck his insurance. I was like, you take care of him, then we'll work out how to pay it.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, take care of him like he's a freaking king, because that's what he deserves. It doesn't matter who he is or what his insurance is. You know, and the lady's like, that's just policy. I'm like, well, be a human and put the policy under the table for a second.
My dad was in Pomona coming from the races on a motorcycle, and he got, like, smashed by two cars. And he was like, my dad almost died. And they asked him, they're like, what's your insurance? He's like, I don't have insurance. They took his ass, and they put him, like, in his thing that he was, and they put him on the side of the aisle in the emergency room. He sat there forever just bleeding out to death. And we tried to do a case about it later. But it was like, you don't have insurance, and what can you do? So they put him, like, in the ambulance and took him all the way back to San Bernardino County. And by then they had to do blood transfusions. And we don't believe in blood transfusions. Just all this shit because he didn't have insurance. It was all this bullshit he had to go to.
Jeez.
Because the first thing they ask him, what's your insurance? They're in the fucking ambulance from the accident. What's your insurance? Ever since then, I've been so, like, on insurance.
Yeah.
My mom fights for that. She fights cases for, like, elderly people and getting them the right
it's
things.
Ridiculous. You know, it's and that's, and they said Canada now being a global place, they're getting into, like, the North Atlantic Free Trade Agreement, which makes them tied into globalization. And one of the big things that, like, the WTO and stuff does whenever they take over countries' economies is they say privatize your health care. That's the first thing you do because it's a huge moneymaker. So Canada is now considering or is moving in the direction of privatized healthcare to clone itself after, like, its U.S. and bigger counterparts, like other countries that don't have it. So Canada, who had something really good going on, is now going to do something that's really shitty to its people because they're going to model themselves after, like, their U.S.
What's
counterparts.
What's the world coming to? Even Canada is, like, fucking getting in on it. Because they were, I mean, don't they know that they're known for just being this, like,
they don't care because
free loving country,
right? They're
but
they're looking
how much
for
money. They're probably
yeah. It's a money thing. It's
but
a money issue.
But they've been fine all along. I mean,
now I'm saying they're moving towards it. I don't know the logistics of that. I don't know the fight. You know how long it'll take, what the people are willing to do. But hey, I'm telling you guys, those folks that are living in Canada, stand up now. Don't let it go too far.
Look
let
where
them
we are.
Know. Yeah, look where we are. Like Erin just told us, like we can't go to the hospital because we don't have any money, and it's like. You know, I'm a master's educated person that doesn't have enough money for healthcare in this country. What is up with that? Like, how does that work? And, but if my degree was in, like, something like sales or business, I would be able, I would have, like, the greatest healthcare on the earth. But since I'm an artist or I'm somebody that's involved in something that doesn't generate capital for the state, nobody gives a shit about you.
Even, like, mass corporations nowadays, they're giving it, I mean, it, like my brother works for Ford. Ford's a huge company, right? And he has a good position, like a sales manager in, like, the parts department. However, the insurance that they offer, if you have a family, it's not, like, you can't take it. It's way too much money to where you put your kids on the little free insurance, you get your wife insurance, and he's fucked because, like, he can't afford insurance. So it's like they're screwing around everybody. The companies have insurance,
and
but
and the
like,
way
you
that,
can't afford it.
And the way that it's set up, too, is that small business can't even touch it. If Ford Motor Company, who has a bigger gross national product than most countries do, can't give its employees, or excuse me, won't give its employees cheap enough insurance and health care, then where does, like, a small single business go? It doesn't go anywhere is the answer. And you're screwed, and that's what you're coming down to. So with Canada doing that and without free healthcare, it's like, you know, general welfare of human beings should not be a moneymaker. And if it is a moneymaker, check your friggin' math. What kind of system embraces that? It's ridiculous. Or if it is going to be privatized, it needs to be regulated to a point where your average person can afford a doctor's visit. Like, my friends from Argentina in 286 were making fun of me the other day. Like, they said, you know, we were ripping on, you know, I always joke with them. I say, yeah, in football in your country, you guys use a round ball. You know, we have, like, our little cultural riffs where we argue back and forth. And they looked at me and they go, yeah, well, at least I can afford to go to the dentist in my country. And I was like, he was speaking about it. I just had to go to the dentist. I couldn't afford the dentist appointment in Los Angeles. It was cheaper for me to fly home to Pittsburgh and go to the dentist, and I was still under the amount that it would have cost me.
Even
just
under
to walk.
Western Dental, where you can make payments, but it's still a
shitload
of money.
No, not payments. I mean, to pay my bill outright and buy a plane ticket was cheaper for
cheaper
me.
Than to
I was in for, with plane ticket and my dental visit when I went to PA, I was in for $350. It would have been $1,200 if I would have got
in
Orange County.
And this all boils down when they like give you statistics of what minorities have what diseases and which people are more sicker. Well, if at the beginning you're holding down minorities, and like just like we said last time, state of mind or anything where you decide to be independent, I mean, it's already hard for you to get a job.
Yeah,
or hard
absolutely.
For you to get some type of schooling or anything. And it also comes down to health care. I mean, that we can't afford it. Like, it's
no,
not
you can't.
Because
it's
I'm
like,
a minority, but I mean, there are certain people that are held down, yes, because of the, what they believe in, the colors of their skin, to where it's like, it goes to where you can't even get health care.
Yeah,
so
I'm
why,
self-employed.
Why
so what do
many,
I do?
Yeah, why you do know, so I'm many a... people who choose to, like, live the alternative, like, are sick and have, like,
yeah.
diseases?
But it's so funny, but technically,
to
wait a minute. Isn't being self-employed and starting your own business the American dream?
Yeah,
it's like, yeah,
it?
Wait a minute. That's what I do, but at the same time, like, every step is against
yeah.
me because...
you're just not doing the right one.
Right, because... yeah, exactly, because I'm
not doing
the right business.
Yeah.
If I would be, like, a loan shark, or if I would, you know, do something more traditionally capitalist-based, I would be... completely doing fine, but if you try to do something, it's just ridiculous. And
if you're a politician,
oh, if I was a politician, it'd be on
a dollar.
Yeah,
per
there's no
visit.
Politician, you know, and the politicians don't have to worry about health care, so they're not going to be. It doesn't affect them, and it doesn't affect their families. So why would they give two craps about it in legislation? It's because my dad pointed out something to me. He goes, these are politicians. These are not statesmen.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are professional politicians. They work, you know, and he didn't say this part, but I'm adding this part. They work on behalf of corporations, on behalf of people that put them into powerful positions.
Mm-hmm.
They are not statesmen. They're not people that love their country. They're people that love their money and love their corporate backers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love their... those things. They say that means that they're more flag-waving and they're more patriotic than me, but that's bullshit. You're not more patriotic. You're farther away from what the values that, quote,
of America.
Supposedly that you're talking about than most people. So, to you guys, I say put a big fist in the air and a middle finger and say, you know what? You know, maybe I'll die early, but I hope to get more rattling done when I die early from having no health care.
I want to find out how they're brainwashing the Canadians. Because I know, just like our propositions recently, how we had the stuff with health care, we have so many issues. And it's just like, I was like, oh my God, during the campaign, I was like losing my voice. Be like, dude, this is not right.
It's so proactive
how
wording.
How do you think that they're telling them?
It's
have to
easy.
Be telling them something like, oh, you know, by doing this, it's making the city more money and blah, blah, blah. We're gonna
how,
be like
it's
America.
The same thing. How does George W. Bush... lie to everybody about a search for weapons
mm-hmm.
of mass destruction, start a mass mechanized attack in the name of Halliburton International and lie, and it's been proved to the American people, lied, and doesn't get impeached, and nobody even questions them. They're like, yeah, needs to be done.
Here.
We got to get them out. They're Al-Qaeda. Nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, Skippies, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and people are completely... so it's the same kind of mentality, I'm sure...
There
people
be
in Canada taking it.
That Canada is like economy's
absolutely.
Going down.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna have to do?
It's watch out. Ooh,
this.
We gotta
like,
do this.
Like,
you gotta
well,
be scared.
Scared.
You gotta be scared. You know, be
like, dude. We don't
want to
pay for insurance, but I mean, they say that we're about to go like bankrupt. They're probably telling Canada something. I want to find out like what
the point is.
Them.
This and this is what I was saying. That Ku Klux Sam and Uncle Tom article I'm writing is an article about fear and how powerful fear is, but also
it
that
dictate a nation.
Activists can use fear back at them because what people would the status quo really fears is that activists will do something outside of petitions. They're fearing that they'll do something outside of legal demonstrations in the streets where we all hop in our SUVs and drive home afterwards and go, man, that was great, just like in the 60s, you know? And in the typical liberal crap, they fear radical crap is what they fear. Like, what if every time Bush lied to them, we went down and we trashed the local government agency in our town?
Yeah.
Now that's fear of what the people can do. And they would have to respond to it by being responsible for their own actions. Because, you know, wait a minute, if we do that, the people are going to react in such a way. Somewhere along the way, we've become really less radical. You know, like, just say, hey, I know how we'll react to tariffs. Let's throw all the tea in Boston Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
People might say the Boston Tea Party was bourgeois in nature, but at the same time, here were some dudes to say, hey, shit, man, if you're going to give us taxes, we're going to throw all the shit in the harbor. We're going to do something about it. You have to respond to that.
Oh, yeah. Things have got... people just got less aware. I mean,
lazy.
And even, like, to fear people is to, like, reach mass amount of people through TV, through anything, which they don't allow us to get on.
Of course.
And let them know, like, dude, you know what? They just told you that's a lie. Let me tell you why. Your children are being threatened by these lies. Your family's being... and that would scare the shit out of them.
Absolutely.
But we're not, like, coming together, and we have these rallies. It's all activists, and it's awesome, but it's like, we need to, like get a hold of these people. We need to get those, like, a great speaker on TV or somewhere just to speak to people and be like, dude, this is what's really going on. like counter, like every time they say a fucking lie, we just get up there and we're just like, absolutely, dude, this is the truth, and we need to reach people. If we're not reaching people,
or at least just provide alternate information. If you're only supplied with one half of the information on something, you're never gonna get
and
the full information.
Make
on
it
something.
Very
yes,
accessible.
It has to be there, and then you can make a decision.
Because good information and real information is not as accessible. Like,
no,
you have to do the research. You have to research.
If you
it.
Want good information about what's going on in the U.S., you should take it from a journalist from an outside nation, because then it's more. It obviously, like, if you want a good indication of what's going on in my life, would you ask me about it?
No,
you could probably ask Ariel. She could probably tell you better, because
yeah,
she could look at it
from
objectively
outside,
because
yeah,
she has nothing to do with it. And that's more objectivity.
And they're already doing that. You could already see the prime examples of how people are, like, in articles from all around the world, how they
absolutely
are looking IMC's at America as. Like, they're just, it's just so blunt. Like, okay,
and it could be bad. Like, I was saying, like, in IMC, like, the internet can also circulate bad information, because if you're circulating information, you have to be the if you're being the media, you have to be the watchdog and know that you're presenting good facts. Hey, I could go on the IMC right now and find a bunch of shitty stories with crappy backing, but I could also find those kind of shitty stories in the mainstream media that people take verbatim. So that's usually the argument I get from mainstream journalists saying, yeah, but there's nobody to watch over your shoulder to say that that's a good article. It's like, wait a minute. The people watching over your shoulder are corporate domination and government agencies that are telling you what's fact and what's fiction. So I don't trust them. Why should you trust these people? It's not good all around. So, but you guys are still considered more reputable, and I don't know why. But you know what? We're going to get back to that. We're going to, because the Flight 800 from 1996 in Long Island is going to shine a lot of those interests. We're going to talk about that when we get back into the second hour. We're going to start out with Behind Enemy Lines with Her Body, Her Decision, Not by the State, Man or Religion. So this is the abortion song. And this is for the, and my favorite is the chorus in this, which says, if you don't believe in abortion, then don't fucking have one.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Make up your own mind. It's free will. If you don't believe in it, don't have it. But don't push your dogma on me. Behind Enemy Lines.
Have you